Could we turn to Ezekiel chapter 37? Ezekiel chapter 37. And as you can see from the screen, we're going to be thinking tonight about the rebirth of Israel. It's the 70th anniversary of the modern state of Israel this year. And one of the greatest passages that relates to the rebirth of Israel is Ezekiel 37. So let's read it, verse 1. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Folks, that's what happened in 1948. The Lord caused his people Israel to live again. He breathed into them, as it were, and they came alive. We could say that the nation of Israel was revived. We love to talk about revival, we love to hear about revival, we love to pray about revival, but 99% of the time it's the revival of the church. But don't forget about the revival of the nation of Israel. And that happened in 1948, 70 years ago. Verse 6. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. You've got a wonderful symbol there of the Holy Spirit. The wind in the Bible is always a symbol of the Spirit. And whenever the church is revived, it's the Spirit that does it. It's the wind of the Spirit coming upon the church, coming upon you and me. But I want to tell you, folks, 70 years ago, whenever Israel was revived, it was the Holy Spirit who did it as well. It was the same Spirit who revives the church. He did it in 1948 to the nation of Israel, and Israel was reborn. And just like a wee baby, if you can just picture the state of Israel in 1948 as being like a wee baby that has just been born. And the Lord has been watching over that little baby ever since. Of course, it's not a baby anymore. 70 years old, 80. And the Lord, whose eyes were upon Israel 1948, his eyes are still upon Israel in 2018. Let's read a few more verses. Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. You know, that's what the Jews thought after the Second World War and after the Holocaust. as they thought about 6 million of their people murdered by a brutal dictator, Adolf Hitler, who, by the way, was inspired by Charles Darwin's Origin of Species, evolution. A lot of talk about evolution today. Everybody laughs at the creationists, the people who believe the book of Genesis. Everybody, you know, howls and hoots with laughter, you and me, for believing it. And evolution is said to be a great thing. Well, it's not such a great thing whenever you think of how Hitler was motivated by it. And so there are the Jews after the Second World War. Coming to the year 1948, they were saying, just as we've read here, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. They felt hopeless. But that's when God stepped in. And in 1948, the whole situation was turned around. Sometimes in the church, we feel hopeless and helpless. And we feel like the Jews after the Holocaust. We feel that the whole thing's gone to the dogs. And we almost get to the point where we give up hope. Is God ever going to move in the church again? Is he ever going to save our loved ones? Is he ever going to move upon them? Is there ever going to be a change in their hearts and lives? We often get to that stage, don't we? But the Lord is able to step in as he did 70 years ago. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. It's a lovely phrase, the land of Israel. The Jews today talk about Eretz Israel. It's a lovely phrase, a beautiful term that they use, term of affection for the land of Israel, the soil. Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, the Holy Land, we call it. Verse 13, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. What a wonderful passage. There was times when I was reading it there, I wanted to comment and say this and say that, but I bit my tongue, because there's other things that we have to say tonight. We are coming to think about the modern state of Israel. And last year, of course, we thought about the Six-Day War, and there's been other anniversaries in recent times to do with Israel, and we have thought about them because we as believers, we love the land of Israel and the people of Israel, because we've got the scriptures from them, we've got the Savior from them. There's just something special about the Jewish people. And so I want tonight to think about this subject. And well, next Thursday night we'll be in Lima Valley. Don't come here. No prayer meeting. We'll be down for the Ashers meeting. But then when we come back in May, maybe on the Sunday or Thursday nights, just leave it to the Lord. But we will be back to take up again this great subject of Israel's 70th anniversary. But some pictures that I want to leave with you tonight. Obviously, there's a picture. Anybody know where that is? Good guess, Margaret. Excellent guess. But actually, it's not far away. Galilee. This is actually Galilee. Okay. The Sea of Galilee. We were in Israel in 2007. Now, I didn't have this view of Galilee, but this apparently is the Sea of Galilee, overlooking it. Before you think about 1948, folks, you need to think about 1945. Here's a picture of Holocaust survivors, and they're coming back to Israel. These young men have survived the Holocaust. And it says they're Jewish survivors of the Buchenwald Nazi concentration camp arrive at Haifa port in 1945. And the lovely image there of these young men holding the flag of Israel. It's the Star of David. Some people would say that David had this very symbol on the shields of his soldiers back in Bible times. Well, we don't know that for sure, but it's a lovely thought, isn't it? So there's the flag of Israel and these Holocaust survivors, and the Lord was bringing them back because he knew what was going to happen in 1948. There's the newspaper front page from 1948, and the title there, State of Israel is Born. There's Mr. Ben-Gurion down there. Sorry about the quality of the image, but David Ben-Gurion, who was the first Prime Minister of Israel. And there he is again. And this is the very day when he declares Israel's independence and the birth of the modern state of Israel, surrounded by other Jewish politicians. And up above there's, if you've ever heard of a man called Theodore Herzl. Herzl lived in the 1800s, and he was really the first person who had the vision or the idea of a Jewish state, a modern Jewish state. So many Jews today even would look back to Herzl as the man who started the ball rolling. There's a picture of the El Al Israel Airlines. Why do we put that picture up? Well, there's a lovely verse there, Exodus 19, verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. It's amazing that in the very same year that Israel was formed, 1948, this airline was also formed. And it wasn't a coincidence, because God had it all planned. Because down through the years, ever since 1948, El Al have been bringing people, bringing Jews, back to the land of Israel. And folks, it is a wonderful study. When you study it and you read about it, I had the pleasure of doing it today, and you know, whenever you start to read about it, you can hardly stop. Because it's just miracle after miracle, and the hand of God bringing his people, restoring his people to the land of Israel. And time and time again, there were flights and projects organized to bring Jews from the four corners of the world back to the land of Israel, and it was the work of El Al Airlines. I don't know whether you've ever flown with them. We flew with them when we went to Israel, and I mean, top security, really strict security, and if you've flown with them to Israel, you will know that. They're so strict and have to go through a number of security checks because they're the Israeli airline and they're so hated by jihadists. And so, El Al, used by God to fulfill Bible prophecy. Do you know that this airline company takes its name from the Bible? From the book of Hosea. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11. And verse 7. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. Do you see those four words? To the Most High. To the Most High. That in Hebrew is the two little words, El Al. To the Most High. See, the idea, whenever this airline was named, the idea was Hosea 11 verse 7. That's where we'll take the name from. And this verse, it literally means to go toward the skies upwards to the Most High. That's where he is, up there, far above this earth. And so it's amazing that this airline company has actually taken its name from the Word of God. And from 1948, there have been flights to Israel on these planes, bringing Jews back to the homeland. Back to this verse here on the screen. You see those words on eagle's wings? Pilots and people involved in this airline have called these flights back to Israel on eagle's wings. On eagle's wings. They have actually seen the hand of God in it. And they've given these flights, bringing the Jews, restoring the Jews to their land on eagle's wings. Folks, whenever we were saved, that's how we were saved. Look at it again. I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. The Lord Jesus carried us and brought us unto God. It was his work. Just like a great eagle, a great bird, carrying us, little birds, as it were, with broken wings. The Lord Jesus saved us by his grace. You know, as Christians, we still often feel like a little bird with a broken wing, don't we? We feel so weak. But the Savior, he's not weak. Oh, how strong he is. And what a Savior he is. Let me tell you about some of these amazing flights that El Al have been involved in since 1948, bringing the Jewish people back to Israel. There was a flight called Operation Ali Baba in the early 50s, bringing Jews from the land of Iraq. The Jews were in great danger in Iraq at that time, and the El Al airline and the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces, they organized this great rescue, bringing the Jews from Iraq. Operation Exodus in 1991, bringing Jews from the Soviet Union back to the land of Israel. Here's the most amazing of all. Wonder, have you ever heard of Operation Solomon? Now, you've heard of Solomon, the king of Israel, but have you ever heard of Operation Solomon? Again, it took place in 1991, the month of May. And Ethiopian Jews were brought back to the land of Israel. Maybe you didn't realize there was even Jews in Ethiopia. Some people think that there's only Jews in Israel. Not at all. But back in 1991, there were thousands of Jews in Ethiopia who longed to go to the homeland. They longed to go to the land of Israel. Something remarkable happened in May 1991. 14,000 Jews were brought back to Israel. Know how long it took them to do it? 24 hours. 24 hours. One of the flights was the most miraculous flight ever, simply for the reason that there were 1,086 passengers on the flight. It was a Boeing 747, these guys here, El Al, and one of their 747s, they got 1,086 Ethiopian Jews into the plane. Those 747s, crammed full normally, hold about 700 people. How on earth did they get over 1,000 people onto the plane? Well, they took out the seats. took out all the seats and put down like sort of a polythene on the floor, and they got over 1,000 Jews into that aircraft, and it's to this day it holds the world record for the most people on a flight. That flight started off with 1,086 people on it, leaving Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. 1,086 people on it. You know how many people were on it when it arrived in the land of Israel at the city of Tel Aviv? 1,088. There's two extra. How did that happen? Two little babies were born en route, on the flight. That's how you get two extra. Folks, why am I taking the time to tell you about something that happened nearly 30 years ago? Well, simply this, because it is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Look at this verse from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 8. Jeremiah 31, verse 8. Now, remember, this is 2,500 years ago. What does the Lord say? Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth. Now, this is what's really interesting. The woman with child and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. Notice those words in the middle. The woman with child and her that travaileth with child together. What happened on that flight in 1991 from Ethiopia? There was two women with child, women that were travailing with child, and two little Jewish babies were born on that El Al flight. The Lord had said it would happen 2,500 years before it happened. Doesn't that just leave you speechless? And then you get people who say, oh, the Bible's only a book. It was Mark Twain who, he was asked on one occasion, why do you believe in the inspiration of Scripture? He answered with two words, the Jew.